The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Amen.
Did you learn that song when you were children? Yeah. you know the song. Ankle bone connecting to the thigh bone and all those kind of things. Yeah. It comes from this passage. From the Bible. It's a strange one. I want to think about dry bones this morning coming to life. I want to think about God giving life. I said at the beginning it's about power. I think about the power of God to change situations. So let me ask you as we start this morning. I wonder, as you look at your life, as you look at the situation that you're in, whether you feel there are dry bones. I wonder if any of the circumstances that you live with could be comparable to this valley. And you look at them and you think, it's just dry bones. You look at it and you think, it's hopeless. Nothing can change this. It could be that you look around the world, in our nation or in our world, you look at some of the things that are happening, and it seems like bones, dry bones, very dry bones. And the question that the Lord gave to Ezekiel was, can these bones live? Can this situation change? And I would be hugely surprised if there's not several of us here this morning that look at circumstances in your life and you think, it's never going to change. That's just how it is. You look at the dry bones of your own life. You think, that's never going to change. I want to tell you, it can change. And we're going to encourage each other this morning. We're going to have God's word encourage us. I want to ask you, I want to invite you to be open to what God wants to say. There's no point coming to church and hearing the word of God if we're not open to what he says, is there? Let's just pray. Father, as we come to this key point where you're going to speak to us, through your word, I pray two things. Firstly, that you will indeed speak with power this morning for the encouragement of your people. And I pray, secondly, that all of us will have hearts, minds, wills that are open to receive it, to let you speak and make a difference to our lives. Do this for your sake, we pray. Amen. The context of this is always important. Context in the Bible is always important. So just refer you back to chapter 36. You don't need to turn to it, you don't need to study it. But chapter 36 is a wonderful chapter because in that chapter, God has been promising the people, the Israelites, who've been scattered into different parts of the world. Some of them had been taken captive north into Syria, what's now northern Iraq. And others of them had been taken east into what is southern Iraq, Babylon as it is now. So they're scattered. They're scattered over a long period of time, this had happened. And their own nation had been ransacked. The land of Israel had been decimated over a period of time. When the Israelites were taken over to into exile, everything of their culture had been destroyed. Many of you know this, but everything had been destroyed. So the cities had been leveled. Worst of all was that their temple, the place where they would go to meet with God, the place where God had met with them, the place where they'd seen the visible presence of God, the place that their whole nationhood revolved around, that had been destroyed as well. Everything about their culture, everything about their national identity had gone. And the people were separated, scattered over the then known world, really. And they, pretty much, they've given up hope of ever being restored to what they were, of ever having a nation again. And all they got was sad memories of what had once been. But they're God's people. And God wants them to know that this isn't the end. And so in chapter 36, he speaks to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a spiritual leader, man raised up by God to speak from him to the people. And he says to Ezekiel, look, Ezekiel, I'm going to restore these people. I'm going to bring them back to the land that was once theirs, to that area of land. It's going to be theirs. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to give them identity. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to prosper them. I'm going to make them back to what they used to be. That was chapter 37. It wasn't because he felt sorry for them. It wasn't because they'd had a really hard time. In fact, the opposite was true. In Ezekiel 36, you'll see that God speaks to Ezekiel, and he says, look, these people, they've actually dishonored me. And the way they're living now, as individuals in this, in the society where they are, in the culture where they are, They're not honoring me. They're actually bringing great dishonor. And what is happening is the nations around, where they're belittling me, says God. As a result of these people and the way they're living and the things they're saying, the things they're not saying, the things they're not doing, actually what is happening is that people are thinking less of me. So for my name's sake and for my name's sake alone, I'm going to bring these people back so that the nations around know that I am God, that I am in control. Isn't it wonderful that God operates for his name's sake and not always as we deserve? You are his child, Christian, this morning. You are God's child. You've been adopted into your family. That means God is committed to you. God is covenanted to you. There are certain implications of that, and we're going to have a look at that this evening as we look in Exodus chapter 19 and 20. Come back tonight if you can. But we know so often we let him down and we don't live what we should do. Sometimes God will restore us simply for his name's sake. What a wonderful God we've got. A God of grace and a God of mercy. So that's where we are. Chapter 37 comes on the back of that. It's like, you can imagine Ezekiel thinking, Maybe Ezekiel would tell the people what God had said to him. Maybe he'd even started to preach it. And you can imagine thinking, it ain't going to happen. The situation is ridiculously bad. And so God gives Ezekiel this vision to reassure him, to encourage him, It will happen. It can happen because of who God is. So the question is, can these bones live? Can the bones of your situation, those dry bones, live? Well, let's think first of all about the situation. Kind of got into that. The situation was dire. The bones, we're told in Ezekiel, they were dry. They were very dry. Ezekiel went around them in this vision with these valley of dry bones. And the dry bones, it's not that they were whole skeletons. These were just disembodied bones, sun-bleached bones. And you can see the background on there. That's the kind of thing it was. But it was 10 times worse than these were human bones. And they were, you know, the ankle bone was not connected to the leg bone. The leg bone was not connected to the hip bone. The hip bone was not connected to the backbone. The backbone was not connected to the head bone. They were scattered. They were all disconnected. They were very dry. It was a dire situation. As I say, they hardly had a home to go to. Could they do it? There's the picture in full technicolor. Ezekiel walks among them. He's given a good, thorough tour by God. He walks among those bones. I guess he probably almost had to stand on them because there were many of them. Can these bones live? God says to him. And you look at your life, that relationship, the finances, the child that breaks your heart. You look at the broken bones of your health or the health of somebody in your family. Can anything change in that situation? Can these bones live? Situation was dire. What's the remedy? The remedy is very simple. If you noticed it, that God said to Ezekiel, he said, Ezekiel, speak to them dry bones. Ezekiel, speak to them. Speak the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It comes, you'll find that phrase in verse 4, verse 9, and verse 12. Say to the bones, this is what God says. Bring the authority of God to bear on it. You see, humanly, it was an impossible situation. No ingenious plan or power could affect the change. But God could. And God said he would. And so as Ezekiel, in his vision, starts to prophesy, starts to speak, starts to declare the word of the Lord to them, God started to bring these bones together. These bones that were so scattered, these bones that looked so lifeless, God brings them together, and there was a rattling noise. And the bones came together, and then the sinews, and then the muscles, and then the skin. And then ultimately, when God breathed, there was life brought into them. That was what Ezekiel saw. You see, when God speaks, when the word of God goes out, there is power. There is authority in the word of God. The scripture says that in the beginning was formless and void. And what happened? What took place to change that? And God said. God spoke. The Son of God, when he was on earth, Jesus, got to a tomb. And he says, take the stone away. He says, you're crazy. The guy's been dead for 4 days. He's gonna be decaying. He's gonna smell. Take the stone away. And Jesus spoke to the dead body. And life came back. There is power. There's an authority in the word of God. And that word, that authority of the spoken word of God is still there. I want to encourage us this morning not to lose confidence in the spoken word of God. Not to lose confidence in the message of God. There's a bit in Romans, it says that by the foolishness of the message preached,
the message shared. And let's be honest, there's very few people, when we speak the word of the Lord to them, when we talk to them about Jesus, when we tell them the Christian message, there's very few people today that will thank us for them. For most people, they're more likely to benignly kind of say, well, that's lovely, that's good for you, but it's not for me. And they will undermine. Some might openly ridicule. But it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Only God can do it. The news of Jesus is power. Let's not forget that. Let's be in no doubt that there is power in the message. There's power in his word. In Hebrews, it says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets to the meat, it gets to the marrow of the situation and the problem. It gets to the heart of things. And many of you know how that is. You've felt it, haven't you, in your life at different times. You've felt that when you're sitting and you're reading God's word, or you're in church and you hear it, and it's just like, sometimes it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Because it's like a knife just getting, and you wish it didn't, but it just gets into the place, and you can think to the speaker, will you shut up, this is uncomfortable, you're getting at me. And a number of times people have said, you were speaking just to me this morning. And I promise you, I'm not speaking to any particular person if that's how you're feeling this morning. But most of us who've been Christians for a while know what that's like. That's God speaking. He's got a way of getting to the hub of it. Or sometimes you've come desperately, desperately needing God, and the word of God, or a song, or a scripture about the Lord has just come and it's just been just what you needed. It's God speaking. He's got a way of getting to the heart of the manner. Of the matter. The point of this is for us as God's people that we really must and we can trust and rely on the word of God. Now, you know, I'm not one that kind of just wants to hem us in. I like to try different things. Somebody said recently, you know, we know that you're happy to try different things. I'm happy to try different things. I don't ever want us to become conformists to our nonconformity, if you know what I mean. But one thing I want to encourage us not to sacrifice and not to deviate from is our confidence in the word of God. And that's why we'll spend 20, 25 minutes each week looking at the word of God. I sometimes hear the apparent words of Francis of Assisi quoted. Somebody mentioned it to me recently. It says, he's reputed to have said this. I don't think he did, to be honest. Preach the word, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. You cannot preach the gospel without words. I know the sentiment, it's live it out. Show, people want to see, does it work? I understand that. But the gospel is a message. It's a message about Jesus. It's a message from God. It's a message about what God has done. You can't just show that. You need to tell it. You need to explain it. It's like a newsreader on news at 10 giving the news, but without saying anything. It wouldn't make sense. You say, well, Jesus went around doing good. The reason he went around doing good was to back up what he said. The miracles that he did, the kindness that he did, back up the message. We need to be works people. We need to be doing good people, but we need to be word people as well. So I encourage you, in your situation, hold on to the word of God. Depend on the word of God. If possible, share it with the person. Tell them about it. If you've got an unbeliever and they're like dry bones and you think, you know, you might be surprised at what God would do through his word. You don't have to preach at them. We need to have confidence in the word of God. Bring your own life. You may have broken bones, dry bones, and you're thinking, not broken bones, dry bones of a situation. You know, health or whatever. Hold on to the word of God. Believe the word of God for yourself. And it might not actually change the circumstances, but it will change you. It will change you in the midst of the circumstances. It will give you strength that you didn't know that you had. So we need to believe in the word of the Lord. And lastly, What was the response? What happened? Well, we've kind of alluded to this already. The response was dramatic, and it was complete. The rattling bones came together, and then the tendons, and then the muscles, and the skin came onto it, and life came when God breathed. When God breathes, when God speaks, life comes. And I guess really the point of what I'm trying to say to us this morning is let's not lose confidence in what God can do. Let's not lose confidence in the power of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's trust Him. Let's keep going. Let's keep praying to Him. Let's keep asking Him. Let's keep seeking Him that He will change situations. And I like the pattern, if I can just comment just briefly on the pattern that happened here. It didn't happen all at once in the vision, did it? The bones started to come together, and then the tendons, then the muscles, then the skin, and then life. You know, when God works, often it doesn't, it's not all at once. Sometimes it's like everything is concertinaed in, and it's like in an instant, the light goes on and everything's put back. But most cases, most times, it's a slow thing. It's a process. Our problem is sometimes we don't see the process, do we? We just think it's nothing's happening. And sometimes we can't see anything happening, but who knows what's going on inside? I guess if we shared our testimonies this morning, most of us would have a testimony that we didn't recognize what God was doing at the time. Even as we became Christians, for most of us, it was over a process, it was over a period of time. And in our lives, we look back and we can see what God has done, but there was probably a period of time when we thought He's not doing anything. But He was at work. And you look back and you can see that He was at work. He was putting things in place. He was joining the bones together. And He was putting sinew on them. And then He breathed life and it took off. So don't give up if you don't see anything. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep speaking the promises of God in your situation. Apply the promises. Trust Him. It's like Christian in Doubting Castle. Keep hold of the promises. Don't give up. They're there for your good. You see, the big lesson from all of this is that nothing's too dead for God to revive. That was what the vision was about. That was why He gave it to Ezekiel. He said, look, Ezekiel, it looks impossible that I can bring this nation together. You know, they're divided in terms of geography. They're divided in themselves. You know, one of them was a northern kingdom, one was a southern. Politically, they'd been divided beforehand. I can bring it back, and I will do. Nothing's been dead for too long. Nothing's too desperate that He can't change it. So I plead with you this morning, if you're facing a dry bone situation, don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. Don't bail out on that situation. Don't give up on the person who appears so hopeless. Don't give up on the child. Don't give up on the health. God can change. I'm not saying that He'll necessarily heal, but He can heal your heart. He can heal your attitude. He can heal your approach to it as you allow His word to come in and His promises. Let's keep trusting Him. Let's keep believing Him. Let's keep holding on to the word of the Lord. Speak to them, He says. Speak to them. This power in the name of Jesus. Let's trust Him. Let's keep going with Him. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to go into communion, because I think